Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams, whew,
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Hi, I'm Kristen Bell, and if you know my husband, Dax, then you also know he loves shopping for a car. Selling a car? Not so much.
We're really doing this, huh?
Thankfully, Carvana makes it easy. Answer a few questions, put in your VIN or license, and done. We sold ours in minutes this morning, and they'll come pick it up and pay us this afternoon.
Bye-bye, Truckee.
Of course, we kept the favorite.
Hello, other Truckee.
Sell your car with Carvana today. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello and welcome to the podcast, The Lotus Eaters, for the 24th of August, 2021. I'm joined by Carl.
Hello.
And today we're going to be talking about the kindler, gentler Taliban, as CNN described them. Also, the black face of white supremacy, Larry Elder.
The black Donald Trump.
Yeah. Also, the FBI says that Donald Trump did nothing wrong.
So, great.
Also, I presume the black Donald Trump did nothing wrong.
Well, not as far as I can tell, no.
No, he's opposing Jim Crow, so... Anyway, so a couple of things to mention first. So some of the premium content we have on the website. So the first thing to mention is the Frank Decotta's Mal's Great Famine book club, which me and Bo did.
Yep. It's Bo and I, not you and Josh. Bo and Josh, sorry. Anyway, I apologize.
So I want to give a big thanks to Bo as well for doing that. He stepped in and did a really good job because he also knew the book Before and After that I haven't read, which is around the famine. And this one is the ultimate one, though, because it makes sense of all other ever things around the Maoist era.
And it's for me, when I read it, it was the detail that he went into, just the small things with, like, you know, the parents having to eat their own toddlers and things like that, that a lot of people would just gloss over saying atrocities. And it's like, okay, yeah, but you need to understand the scope of this. This, you know, when you say atrocities, you're taking it out of the context and just glossing over saying, this was bad, trust me. And it's like, yeah, I do trust you, but you need to know in graphic detail just how bad it was. You know,
there's a debate in media, particularly in news media, about when there's a terrorist attack, should you show photos if they're publicly available of the aftermath?
Yes.
And in 9/11, you couldn't stop yourself because everyone's seen it. And ever since, the media purposely tries to make sure people don't see them. And I'm very much in the camp of you need to show it.
Yeah.
Because otherwise people don't know what really happened. Yeah. And this is a great version of it, let's say. I also want to enjoy all the people commenting that this was absolutely atrocious. That means we did a good job, so good. Moving on to the next one. Roger Scruton, the book club you did.
Yep, where we are. Roger Scruton, I think, is the most relevant philosopher in British political life at the moment. Of course, he died in 2019, so that's a tragedy. But he, in my opinion, he seems to really have had his thumb on the pulse of what the problem is in Western civilization at the moment, particularly in Britain, of course. But the principles, I think, are still applicable to the rest of the English-speaking world. So definitely recommend checking out our book club.
Yeah. And the last thing to mention, the new article from John Tangney.
Yes.
Never get it right, sorry. Anyway, so Joe Biden and the End of Chivalry. That's premium, so you have to go and sign up to read that one. But please do, because that's how we keep the show running.
And it's really good.
Without further ado, let's get into the show. So... a kindler, gentler Taliban, presumably a slogan which CNN decided to steal from the Labour Party to apply to the Taliban.
Well, I mean, there's literally Jeremy Corbyn's kinder, gentler politics.
Yeah, and...
as manifested by the Taliban.
And here's the CNN article, a kindler, gentler Taliban. Of course. They're progressives.
Question mark. Question mark.
Who knows? They could be. So they say in here, the Taliban are claiming today that they have changed during the past two decades. They are the kindler, gentler Taliban. A Taliban spokesman, Zabihullah Mujahid, asserted, quote, the Islamic Emirate is committed to the rights of women within the framework of Sharia.
Rights.
Within the framework of Sharia.
Hmm.
Look at that progress. We now agree with women's rights, provided it's Islamic. Islamic rights.
But the thing is, I don't know if I would call the Quranic view of women to be about rights. Because rights, duties, I think.
Stations.
Stations, yeah, is the right way to put it. There is a proper place for women in Islam, of course, and it's directly below men.
Or walking directly behind them.
Or walking directly behind them, or receiving half of the inheritance that a man would receive, and things like this. I mean, it's literally women are half as valuable as men in Islam.
Unless it's a rape case in which they're 1/4.
That's a good point, actually, yeah. Then you need four witnesses rather than just one.
Anyway, so yeah, CNN aren't the only ones to jump on this train of trying to describe the Taliban as some kind of progressive force. So, of course, we have... force of progressivism.
I just love this, right? Because you know what's going through their minds. They're like, well, Taliban, oh, they sound pretty bad. They are anti-American and they are people of color, though. So maybe we need to start thinking about how we can repackage this in a progressive form so they're part of our coalition.
They are a voice within the BLM movement. Anyway, so Matt
they're
Walsh,
just opposing white supremacy, Callum.
Taking this clip from the State Department. And it was some spokesman who said that the Taliban need to form an inclusive and representative government. He's pointing out this isn't the Babylon Bee. This is a real man who stood there with absolutely no conviction in his voice. Like, you can tell even he thinks it's bloody nonsense, saying we need an inclusive Taliban government. Okay, yeah.
Not likely is all I'm going to say.
So if we go to the next one as well, we have the British. So what was this guy there? The Chief of Defence Staff for the British. And we played this clip before, but I just wanted to mention it again because it was amazing.
I think you have to be very careful using the word enemy.
Yes.
To describe the Taliban.
Up until yesterday, we were killing them on sight, but today...
We were dropping Moabs on them 6 months ago.
So he said that the Taliban want an Afghan that is inclusive for all.
Just honestly, progressives should get flown out to Afghanistan as a duty to all mankind.
Or as a gift to the West. I'd say. Yeah.
just a month tour in Afghanistan for progressive ideologues. That's what I want.
This was great to watch with Peter as well, because this guy, he describes the Taliban as the country boys. Amazing. Like, they're just country boys and they're anti-corruption.
Well, just like the Dukes of Hazzard from Afghanistan. Yeah. That's what they are.
No, Akbar. Yeah. Anyway, so yeah. That's more of the
black flag painted on their car.
Well, be the white flag because it's Taliban.
Oh yeah, sorry, yeah, the white.
Just... when do I get it wrong? So the Taliban watched this and were like,
"Yeehaw,
okay, yeehaw." Let's just say the words, the magic words. So they said that they're going to set up an inclusive government. Yeah. So the member of the Taliban, he will be in Kabul to meet jihadist leaders and politicians for an inclusive government setup.
Oh, amazing. If we just use the word inclusive enough.
I know. He's like, yeah, I'm going to go meet jihadists to set up an inclusive government. Me and the jihadists. That's very inclusive.
How many... What's the gay representation going to be like in the Taliban government?
I think zero. Anyway. But I thought we'd cut this off with a story about how the new Taliban are about. And there is a weird story here that does paint them in a good light, which I'm going to read because it's
from
really
ITV.
Funny. From ITV, of course. So they label this chivalry Taliban style. Take this woman home, Afghan journalist Zaha Nabi, on how she experienced chivalry, Taliban style. The chivalrous Taliban. So Zaha was at our hotel and Serena. I don't know how to get it right. Yeah. The night before last. The hotel has been under Taliban control since Monday. So she's in the hotel and then Taliban turned up to control the hotel. Her business here concluded long after dark and she walked out the hotel gates. She turned to one of the Taliban guards and told him that she was unable to get home on her own and he or one of the colleagues would have to take her home. She turned to the Taliban and were like, well, it's dark. Take me home.
Yep.
You're a man. I'm a woman.
Yep.
Take care of me.
Yep.
And it says initially the gunman looked confused at this Westerner, but Zahara was persistent. Eventually, he picked up his Kalashnikov and walked into the middle of the road. He aimed the rifle at the first unfortunate motorist to come along. That chivalry lasted long.
No. This is part of the chivalry.
He pointed the gun at the first motorist he saw. The petrified driver screeched to a stop. The Taliban guard walked to the side window and told the man, take this woman home, which he then did.
Yeah.
That's pure chivalry right there. And they see, they're right there at the end. Chivalry, Taliban style.
No, but that legitimately is, right? Because what that's saying is there is a tradition within Islam about the proper protection and treatment of women. And this is a part of it. A woman is vulnerable if she's supposed to walk home at night. So no, a man's duty is to do this. And so that's what the Taliban guard was doing.
I mean, there is some mean magic to it. I mean, I would love to be like a security guard who's just armed and then some woman comes out and is like, take me home. He's like, all right, doing nothing else tonight.
He's got a duty to do it, you know? Yeah. Under Islam, he's got a duty to protect women, so he did.
Not in the West, that's all dead. So the Taliban have also been mocking the US. This has been going around quite a lot. So you can see David posting here the image of the Yanks getting the flag on Iwo Jima up. and then the image of some guys in Western gear putting up the flag of the Taliban.
God damn it.
In comparison, which does sting. So what's interesting as well is, I must say, especially with the Good Morning Caliphate setup they had. I don't know if you saw their studio.
Yeah.
Looked very good. I'll give them that.
It's Good Morning Emirate.
Oh,
actually.
Good Morning Emirate, not yes. Caliphate yet. Yeah. So they've actually been pretty slick with their media operation, and a lot of people have been stunned by this, me included. Which is just, I don't know where this has come from. I think they've probably been interacting with the American PSYOPs guys who have been working with the Afghan government to try and make
them
legitimate.
Really? The Taliban were working with the CIA?
I mean, working kind of against. So, for example, the Afghan government, the American PSYOPs, set up radio stations for the Afghan government, and they would have the Taliban on for debates. You know, like blood sports.
I like their commitment to free speech.
Yeah, so it was, it makes the point of like, oh, we're the guys who are in favor of free speech. We're honest. We'll have the debate with the enemy and defeat them on the ideas and all the rest of it. Mm-hmm. And like the Taliban have just shut us down. And I think the Taliban may have just learned a lot of things in their 20 years of interacting with this high level of military operations. And what's interesting is they went on Iranian TV and kind of dunked on the Iranian government for being liars. So this guy went on Iranian TV, and it's like titled here, Taliban know the Iranians better than themselves. Taliban spokesman, if the US announces right now in any country in the world that its planes will take people to America, wouldn't people rush to get on board? The Iranian TV presenter says Iranians wouldn't do so. And the Taliban presenter is just like, yeah, I'm sure they would.
Oh my God.
Which, I mean, they would. I mean, that's the weird thing. Like, you wouldn't openly talk like that, surely? If you're trying to give off the impression that, no, Afghanistan's perfect, no one would try and get on the planes. But he's sort of giving off the idea that, yeah, of course people want to run to America.
Sorry, are we pointing out that the Taliban are winning in the popular consciousness of the Muslim world?
They seem to be, which right. I'm not happy about. But they're actually like, they're not the desert dwellers of 2001.
No, because I saw the Chad Taliban memes they were posting on Twitter.
Yeah.
For some reason, they're allowed on Twitter.
Nowhere else. Twitter is their favorite platform.
Yeah, Facebook they're not allowed on, and all the YouTube they're not allowed on. But for some reason, Jack Dorsey, who looks a bit like a mad mullah himself, is okay with it.
But speaking of Twitter,
I'm not allowed on Twitter. Taliban are.
I can think of a reason to disavow the Taliban, if none others come to mind. They endorse anime. So
I knew they were bad, but now I'm convinced of it.
This is one of the amazing things, right? I'm kind of glad that they're on Twitter, because it's just really funny. So this guy messaged a Taliban account saying, will the Taliban ban anime or is it allowed? And the guy responds, what do you mean by anime? So he sends him a picture of some Japanese like schoolgirl anime and says, this is anime. Anime are Japanese cartoons. And if we get the next one up, the Taliban respond, it's just a cartoon, not a problem.
Okay, listen, Taliban, we need to have a talk, right? The anime is a problem.
Far.
Yeah, exactly. It absolutely, anime is haram, and you should know this, by the fact that what it is subverting your Islamic values with Western values through the medium of Japanese children's cartoon, or cartoons of children, definitely haram. Mm.
There's also the absurd images coming out there. So
elect me for Supreme Leader.
I've seen the meme.
And I'll ban anime.
So we go to the next one. You can see here, I love this title. Taliban imam flanked by gunmen in Kabul mosque appeals to Afghans to stay in the country.
At least he's wearing his mask, though.
I didn't notice that.
Don't even catch him COVID.
Just like, there's no reason to leave the country, just surrounded by guys with AKs. Sorry, not AKs. I don't know what guns those are.
Who cares, yeah.
Anyway, of course, in reality, the Taliban are still the Taliban. This is all BS. This is all a weird argument from Westerners who are trying to make the Taliban to be some kind of inclusive force. And then they're going to be shocked when the Taliban turn around and be the Taliban. First and foremost, they need to be cancelled, if nothing else.
Oh, really?
For blackface, of all things. So, apparently, they found a guy who was engaging in theft, and so they covered up his face in black soot or something, and then paraded him around in ritual humiliation.
Are we sure that this isn't a diplomatic embassy with Justin Trudeau?
Not yet, but I mean, these are the reports we have on the ground. I mean, maybe Justin has his cousins are on holiday, like Miles or something. Anyway, so we go to the next one. There's also, of course, what the Taliban have been up to. So this one talks of when they stormed the TV station, the Good Morning Emirate, as you said. So they stormed in, told the women presenters to get lost, and that they're not coming back because...
Very inclusive.
No women, and also berated them for wearing makeup, which...
so he Jordan Peterson them.
Which I suppose they didn't kill them at least.
Yeah, that's...
So we go to the next one.
That's progress.
are threatening people with to be stoned or amputated for being criminals.
So Sharia.
Yep, they're threatening them with Sharia, which, according to the Pew polling, 99% of Afghanis wanted.
Yep.
So.
And 99.7% of Afghanistan is Muslim.
Hmm.
Just saying.
How can 99% of the people be wrong? They can. Let's go to the next one. So the sky.
I shouldn't be laughing at this. This is all awful. But
no, it's absolutely horrible.
It's so ridiculous that it just sounds like it's come from another century, doesn't it?
But it also sounds like we were making this all up, you know?
Yeah.
Like
that's like a brass eye skit.
Yeah, like the Taliban have taken back Afghanistan today.
Yeah.
Like if they were reporting in 2010 or something, making up fake news.
And then Good Morning Emirate, you know, with like the Good Morning like TV, but with guys in turbans and guns.
Babylon B, the Taliban endorse anime.
Yeah, exactly. Like, Taliban, yeah, exactly. It sounds like a joke.
Yeah, so from here they say, Afghanistan, Taliban warn there will be consequences if Biden delays the withdrawal of US troops. In response to Biden wanting to delay the withdrawal of troops because everything's cocked up. Like, apparently they gave him a deadline, which was, I think it's, the end of this month?
That's right, the Taliban are giving Joe Biden deadlines.
Yeah.
Let that sink in.
Get lost or we're going to kill everyone, which they seem to have the capacity to do, of course.
Because, why aren't you killing the Taliban, Joe?
Because I suppose he doesn't want to start the war. I did hear a story, which is quite funny. So the paras from Britain have been going out and getting our guys out from the country. The Americans, not so much.
For some reason.
Apparently there was one incident where the paras came back with some guys they want to extract. And they got to the gates of the airport, and the Americans didn't want to let them in for some reason. They were worried about, you know, overcrowding the airport or something like this.
Right.
Know. And apparently it got to the point where the paras were just pointing guns at the Americans, saying, let us in or you're dying. So, don't know.
Well, it's not like the Americans are brave enough to shoot back at anything anymore, is it, apparently?
Yeah. Anyway, so if we go to the next one as well. We have Sky News reporting on the ground from the airport, which is an absolute S show. And as you can see here, the footage, and we're not going to play it because probably get a copyright strike or something, but in the footage, the guy says that thousands of Afghans who have no right to come here but are coming anyway. So thousands and thousands of people are turning up at the airport to get a free flight to the West, because, I mean, you would, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
And, of course, lots and lots of those people have no right to be there.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, because there's so many and it's up against a gate, people are being crushed to death.
Brilliant.
So lots of people are being killed. There are some gunshots going off by who knows who.
Yeah.
The people are trying to get in as well. And the Americans and the troops, though, I mean, they're having a terrible time, all of them, to be honest. I can't imagine having to deal with this crisis. But interestingly, the point has been made, if we go to the next one, that this is exactly the same situation we have in the West. We've managed to make exactly the same border crisis that we have at the US southern border and in Greece, only this time at the international airport in Afghanistan, for saying virtually the same thing.
Weird how progressive policies keep coming to this conclusion.
Mm. Every single time. It's you would have thought we'd learned the lesson by now. You don't just say, we'll take thousands of people. No checks whatsoever. Come to the West, buckos. No, you go out for specific people who you have names on our list.
Mm.
You go and get them. Anyway, some other updates from this, I think we'll probably end on this and then return Afghanistan to its place in international politics, which is a
and world history. It's the graveyard of empires.
Well, it's kind of a false narrative. Like, it's been conquered many times, but it's just in modern history.
Yeah, but conquering it isn't the problem, because it's just a giant desert and mountain range. But, like, why you want it is the problem.
Yeah.
You know, now you've got to sit there forever in the middle of nowhere with a bunch of angry barbarians who are just there going, look, we've got nowhere else to go. We live here, and we're just going to wait for generation upon generation upon generation. And literally for the last 1,000 years, it's been an Islamic emirate. You know, like, what you can do, change it? No, of course you're not going to change it.
There was an interesting point from the This Is What Winning Looks Like documentary filmmaker. Mm-hmm. The previous one he did, like, years before. He said in that one, the Taliban have said to us, they'll stay here for 20 years like it's waiting for Christmas.
Yeah.
It's no problem for them at all.
Well, they've got nowhere else to go.
Yeah, so they have. But some of the other Western stuff on this has been
Pakistan.
Terrible. Some of the stuff on this has been terrible. Is the previous head of the CIA retweeted this, as Jack Posobiec points out. So if you can scroll down on this. It's a meme comparing the Taliban
to
Trump supporters.
Right, okay, yeah.
And they're also getting the image of the Taliban wrong. That's ISIS. the former head of the CIA can't tell the difference between the Taliban and ISIS, which is warming to know.
And also can't tell the difference between the Taliban, ISIS, and Trump supporters.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So the idea there is no deep state within the US administrations, nonsense.
But also their opinion on Trump supporters is that you're basically the same as the Taliban.
Yeah, and he's not, for people listening, he's not got an image up of, like, the Capitol or anything. He's just got a row of cars with American flags and Trump flags.
So on the plus side, you're about to get forgiven and brought into the fold by the inclusive progressive narrative, because that's what they've done to the Taliban.
You know what our Taliban really is?
No.
The Taliban.
Oh.
We keep importing them. So we go to the next one. I mentioned that we're doing the airlifts out of there. Yeah, this doesn't go well. Exclusive with me and Hayden, blah, blah, blah. A person from Afghanistan on the UK's no-fly watch list has been flown into Birmingham as part of the British extraction operation in a potential security breach, Sky News can reveal.
Well, that's what happens when you're not checking passports, isn't it?
Yeah. Apparently, there have been six people who are on the no-fly list who have been sent outside of Afghanistan and have now been picked up as, oh, bugger, we weren't meant to put them on a plane to the West. And all of them are listed as a direct threat to the UK.
Oh, amazing.
So, fantastic. So, one of them made it to Birmingham, as mentioned. The Home Office is now insisting that this person is not of interest.
Oh, are they?
Why were they on a no-fly list? What were they doing in Afghanistan?
But, I mean, for punishment for their sins, they've been sent to Birmingham.
Enjoy your time.
Yeah.
Anyway, so, but that also gives us a statistic, which is that out of the 4,226 that have been evacuated from Afghanistan at time of recording, we had six, which posed a direct threat to the UK, which means that for the 20,000 refugees we're going to take, we have about 27 terrorists who are probably going to come with them, if that holds up, that math. No problems whatsoever.
Yep.
Yeah. Our Taliban are just going to be the Taliban. We're going to import them, as we have with every other migrant crisis we've created.
This is why I honestly think we should take the Greek approach and just build a wall.
Or the Turkish one. They've also built a wall.
Yeah. Anyway, or the Hungarian one, who also built a wall. Weird how all these walls keep springing up. anyway. California has problems. Many problems. And they are all made by the democratic governance of the state for the last God knows how many decades. Right? So problems include things like massive homelessness, massive amounts of drug addicts roaming the streets, insane taxes, harsh lockdowns, suffering small businesses, businesses fleeing the state, political corruption, wokeness run rampant, and mass illegal immigration. All Democrat policies, all done with, and again, just to be clear, California used to be the golden state. Everyone wanted to be in California. California was amazing. It's sunny all the time. There's so much money there. There was a gold rush back in the day. You know, this was the place of prosperity and growth, and everyone wanted there. And now it's got declining population and human feces on the streets. So you can only mess that up in one way. And this has led to the Democratic governor of California, Gavin Newsom, being recalled. People are not happy with how he has been doing these things. And so I'm going to go through an explainer through from the AP just to make sure that we're all on the same page and we all understand what's going on, because I have no idea how local California politics works. I just look at the videos of the drug addicts running around stabbing people with needles and think, no, I'm not going there. So Republicans are hoping for an upset in the heavily Democratic state, where the GOP hasn't won a statewide election since 2006. The election is being watched closely nationally as a barometer of the public mood heading towards the 2022 elections, when a closely divided Congress will be in play. California is one of 20 states that has provisions to recall a sitting governor, recall a sitting governor, 19 through elections. The state law establishing rules goes back to 1911 and is intended to place more power directly in the hands of voters by allowing them to remove elected officials and repeal or pass laws by placing them on the ballot. So recall attempts are common in the state, but they rarely get on the ballot and even fewer succeed. The only time a governor was recalled is in 2003, when Democrat Gray Davis was removed and voters replaced him with Arnold Schwarzenegger, who was a Republican at the time. This was when he cared about your freedoms, and now I imagine he'd vote Democrat. Californians have apparently grown angry during the pandemic. Stay-at-home orders by Newsom, crushing job losses from business closures, shuttered schools, and the disruption of daily life soured just about everyone. And you know why they've done this? They've done this because the Orange Man said, maybe people should be free, and they're like, well, we're going to do the exact opposite of that, so people are definitely not going to be free, and we're going to turn California into a giant open-air prison. California's wallet-sapping taxes, rising food and gas prices. Oh yeah, that's another thing as well, isn't it? California is ruining, like, the Democrats are ruining the entire country by just making everything cost a huge amount more. Which, if you were a cynical class warrior, like a socialist maybe, who hasn't yet bought his mansion, you might be thinking, well, that's a tax on the poor, isn't it? You know, rising taxes on rising prices on food and petrol, that's bad for poor people, if you care about such things. Anyway, Newsom has been a ready target for this kind of resentment. He's also being hit by the fallout from a multi-billion dollar fraud scandal at the state unemployment agency, while weathering a public shaming for going maskless while dining out with friends and lobbyists in an exclusive restaurant last fall, which is autumn, while telling residents to stay home for their safety. So again, you can see the exact thing. It's the elite aristocratic class of the Democrats taking advantage of all of the poor and struggling huddled masses of California, and people are finally had enough of it.
Urging to breathe free in Texas.
Yes, and Florida, you know, where people are actually fleeing to en masse, and I don't blame them. And if you get there and vote Democrat, then you should be kicked out. Anyway, voters being asked if Newsom should be removed, which is a yes or no, simple binary choice, and then on the same ballot they're being given the option of who should replace him. And so what this means is you'll get, like, and there are 46 names on the ballot, and so, you know, it doesn't require a majority for someone to replace them, or a plurality. It just, you know, whoever comes highest on this. So you could have like 20% or something like that and still be elected because of all the other votes that went to the other candidates that didn't pass. And so, if the majority of voters approve to recall him, then the candidate who gets the most votes will become the governor. And that's interesting because there are lots of interesting folks on there. So there are 24 Republican candidates, including radio host Larry Elder, Kevin Falconer, former San Diego mayor, a businesswoman called John Cox, who was defeated by Newsom in 2018, and Caitlyn Jenner, the reality TV personality, former Olympian, and famous trans person. Really why you know who Caitlyn Jenner is, isn't it? There are 9 Democrats, but none of them are of any note whatsoever. So, like, you would never have heard of any of these Democrats. I've never heard of any of these Democrats. One of them is a real estate agent. Like, you know, these are not people who are, I mean, AP says they're largely unknown and have not mounted credible campaigns. So basically, I guess the Democrats must be pinning their hopes on Newsom doesn't get recalled. So expect a fortification of this one, folks. Anyway, so Newsom was elected in 2018 landslide, and he has been viewing the recall as an attack on California's progressive policies, which it should be viewed as, because California's progressive policies have destroyed it. Democrats say the effort to remove him is being driven by, quote, far-right extremists and former supporters of former President Donald Trump. The recall is backed by state and national Republicans, but organizers argue that they have a broad-based coalition, including many independents and Democrats. Because everyone who opposes the Democrat narrative is a far-right extremist. So the polling isn't actually very good for Newsom at the moment. He may have won in 2018 in a landslide, but if we can get to the next one, you can see that it's getting worryingly close. We scroll down a little bit. Wasn't very close a couple of months, a month ago, and then it hit about 50-50. So keep is 48% at the moment, and remove is 47%. If I were Gavin Newsom, and I was looking at a 50% chance that I was going to get, you know, shunted out of my constituency, I'd be thinking, wow, we're going to need a lot of mail-in ballots for this.
You'd be sweating bullets.
Yes, you would, yes,
have
indeed.
Have you seen the clip?
We'll get to those. And so the question is, though, why is Newsom struggling? Because of the very, very, you know, safe Democrat seat, you would think California would be. And so why is he struggling? This is a walkover. This, like, there are loads of these recall ballots, and they never come along. And so why is this one going to happen? Well, one theory from, posted on MSN, but it was from somewhere else, is that maybe it's because he's just really dislikable. No one likes him. In fact, that's exactly how they frame it. His problem in the election is likability. It's not that he's disliked by hordes of voters. His job performance ratings have remained decent, about 50% approval, 42% disapproval among registered voters from a July poll. But there isn't much endearment, most crucially among Democratic voters. This is evidenced in the apathy of Democrats towards the September 14th recall election. They aren't rushing to rescue the governor. Voter turnout is likely to be far higher among Republicans than Democrats and no party preference voters, says one poll director. If Newsom survives, it will be because of this era's rigid political polarization. Democrats won't be voting for him as much as they'll be rejecting what they consider the scary notion of turning over the governor's office to a Republican, like Arnold Schwarzenegger. Newsom, exactly. It's not like,
why are they scared?
I don't know, because they're afraid that they're going to be told that they're being naughty, and that's how it comes across to me. Like, it seems like the children have been, you know, staying up late, and they're worried about their dad coming home. That's the framing I'm getting from this. But anyway, they say that Newsom is a liberal San Franciscan who made a fortune selling classy wine. So you can see it comes from the upper crust here. He's matiny idle handsome, with perpetually coiffed hair that should be messed up occasionally just to look normal. His casual clothes for TV seem styled. That's all fine, but it doesn't connect with regular people, and he unfairly gets tagged by some rivals as a pretty boy. Lots of parents, I suspect, are resentful because his children were privileged to attend a private school in classrooms during the pandemic while their kids were stuck at home with boring public online school courses. So there we go. He is from the elite, the California elite, and nobody likes him because he's obviously taking advantage of this. And The question of likability, right? This I think is really interesting. Let's play this next clip, and you tell me who he seems like.
Mr. Mayor, good to see you. Let me start by asking you, where have you been?
$522.2 million shortfall. Last year we had a
570.
Hey, I'm here to talk about tomorrow, today and tomorrow. Now, yesterday I've been working my tail off. I've been out. I think I had 69 public events in the last 2.5 weeks.
You know, I heard you say that on the radio today, and then I asked your staff, well, where's the printout? Where are these events?
This isn't me.
And your press person said, well, this is stuff he just goes to.
Yeah, these are all public events. Right. Yeah, so.
But look, you know the criticism that you have been dodging, not just the press, but also the public, that you have been sulking after dropping out of the governor's race, that you're having a temper tantrum. What do you want to say about
it? I want to say that I've been working my tail off. I've been here focused in San Francisco. I think I was gone 2 days out of the city in the last 3 weeks. We've done 69 public events. I've been as engaged or more engaged than ever. I don't read the press. It is comical, some of the things that have been written.
So the cartoon in the Chronicle that depicted you as a crying baby with the headline, Mayor, Mayor, Off the Wall, you didn't see that?
No.
You didn't see it?
Who reads that stuff? I don't read that stuff. I focus on work. I focus on getting things done.
You know, it's not just the press, though, that you've been absent from. I mean, I have a list of the events that you have missed.
Which ones?
Well, you want a few. The Urban Land Institute. You were scheduled to speak before 6,000 people.
I had the flu that week.
The China SF conference that was also there. They were counting on you. The Silver Spur Awards luncheon.
That was the only one I missed that I actually knew about. No, I took
2,000 people.
After
were...
You're focused on the Spur.
Goes on a bit.
This reminds me of the money guy from Wolf of Wall Street. The guy who does the money song.
Yeah. He really reminds me of Christian Bale from American Psycho.
Yes.
Right? His mannerisms, the way his facial expressions, the way he's holding himself, the way he fake smiles. He looks like a corporate psychopath, right? And so it's no wonder he's got likability problems. If you come across like the guy from American Psycho, you have a problem with likability, right?
You know, the fire department should invite him down just to give him an axe.
Yeah. So anyway, so this is not going particularly well for him. And so, of course, the Democrat smear machine is in full force. The governor's campaign has attempted to tar recall opponents, including Democrats, independents, libertarians, and Republicans, as, quote, radical right-wing anti-vaxxers, QAnon conspiracy theorists, and racists who could threaten California's efforts to fight COVID-19.
If we ever needed evidence that all of those accusations are usually bunk.
Oh, we're going to get into much better evidence as to how these accusations are complete bunk. Anyway, he extended his emergency powers to change Californian elections again, as he did in 2020 elections, send mass numbers of mail-in ballots to registered voters. I'm still a registered voter, and I moved a year ago. Dead people are on the list. The state allows ballot harvesting by strangers. Wow. What a shock. I can't believe they're going to be using massive amounts of mail-in ballots to protect a very flimsy claim that a Democrat politician has. What a surprise. Anyway, there's a great clip just to show you the complete disconnect between the regular people and the Democrats in California. This is a recent lunch where Nancy Pelosi was present at this, but you can see, if we can scroll down a bit, the people serving them, yes, hordes of Democrats, right? Hordes of the upper crust of the Democrat Party. In a lovely place, none of them wearing masks. There's Pelosi speaking at the head of the table there, not wearing a mask. But of course, the people serving them are all wearing masks. And many of them are, of course, people of color. So as you can see from the Democrats, they seem overwhelmingly white, overwhelmingly rich, and look like Southern plantation owners. Just saying, it's obvious who doesn't represent the authentic voice of California here. But anyway, so let's go on to look at how the Republicans are doing. So Caitlyn Jenner is on 3% of likely voters. I expect Caitlyn Jenner to do better than that, to be honest, especially in California. But there's Assemblyman Kevin Kiley, who's on 5%, former San Diego mayor, and businessman John Cox, who are on 10% each. But the person who is at the very tippy top of the Republican candidacy with a commanding lead is Larry Elder, the radio host, with 18%. And this is driving them mad. So who is Larry Elder? So if you're not an American, you might not know who Larry Elder is. So he is, if we can go to the next one, a popular radio show host, describes himself as the sage from South Central. Now, South Central LA is famous, internationally famous, for being insanely dangerous, especially through the 90s. This was the place you didn't want to go to in LA. I've never been South Central. I just know about it from popular culture, right? But anyway, he comes from there. And so he on his Wikipedia page, he's described as an LA native who obviously had a strong fatherly presence in his household. He trained as a lawyer, but has worked in TV and radio for the last 30 years. And I think he's best described as just being like a highly orthodox American conservative. Mm.
He's right. Also the guy who BTFO'd Dave Rubin on systemic racism, which Dave will say is also true.
Yes, he is. And so this strident conservative black man is causing them to panic because, oh God, a dadist might get into the office. And the dadist is not going to be taking any of the kids' nonsense, is he? And so you can see this from the LA Times. And the LA Times have been really cacking their pants over him. If we can get to the next one. Sorry, I've put a link in there, John. If we can just get the montage up from the thing. Because it's amazing. It's just article after article of calling Larry Elder names. We're afraid of him. We're afraid of him. Can we get the link up, John? Just because I want to... Thanks. So you would think that Larry Elder was like Jared Taylor or something from the way that they're approaching this. It's mad. But here's just a quick montage. You know, Larry Elder talks a lot too bad. You can't believe anything he says. Larry Elder bashes the media, offers no solution. Reminds you of an ex-president. State officials open investigations whether Larry Elder failed to disclose income sources. Of course, when a Republican is doing well against the Democrats, right, that's it. Bring the machinery of government on and try and destroy them like they did with Trump.
If Larry Elder is elected, life will get harder for black and Latino Californians. just one after another. Fool's line.
Yep. And so the best one, of course, was this one from, the LA Times. Larry Elder is the black face of white supremacy. You've been warned. Amazing. I love Larry's reply to this. Just like, you've got to be real scared and desperate to play the race card against the brother from South Central. So yeah, good luck. What do you get? Hey, you're a racist, Larry. Oh, shut up. You know, if ever you needed...
They didn't even go with that. They went, you're the face of white supremacy.
Yeah, exactly. They may as well just shopped a KKK hood onto him or something. And it's like, but the thing is, if you ever needed more proof that their allegations of racism are total nonsense, surely this is it. I mean, surely this has got to be the apex example, right? And so let's go through this article. This article is amazing, right? Larry Elder smiled the smug smile of a black conservative who could very well be liberal California's next governor. God, let's hope so. I'm loving this salt, right? Where do you start with the damage Gavin Newsom has done to the state and we both love, says Larry. He leaned forward to gaze across the room of white Republicans, important to know they're white, by the way, who had come to hear him speak in Orange County. Rise in crime, it's because of this phony narrative that the police are engaging in systemic racism and the cops are pulling back. When you reduce the possibility of a bad guy getting caught, getting convicted, getting incarcerated, guess what? Crime goes up. Where's the lie? How is he wrong? He's not wrong, but that's why they have to be like, oh, then what's the purpose? Well, he's not wrong, is he? You know? So the author says, I won't lie. Few things infuriate me more than watching a black person, capital B. Larry is not a capital B black person. He's just a small B black person.
Where is this going?
Yeah, exactly.
Nothing infuriates me more than watching a black... Oh, wait, what?
Watching a black person use willful blindness and cherry-picked facts to make an overly simplistic argument that whitewashes the complex problems that have come along with being black in America. Well, if he's black and he's talking about these problems, how is it that he doesn't know these things? You know, maybe he just has a different perspective. She says, throughout his career as a radio host and talking head for Fox News and now a candidate, Elder has made a point of doing just that, usually with a lot of taunting and toddler-like name-calling of his ideological enemies in the process. Hold your horses. I don't think you'll want to talk, okay?
The headline of this article is, he's the black face of white supremacy.
Yeah, just you know, the irony is too much. As longtime political consultant Kerman Maddox put it, Larry Elder goes out of his way to be at odds with the leadership of the black community and at odds with the thinking in the black community. And so the question is, well, why not? How?
What?
Well, he's at odds with the leadership of the black community. That's because they're terrible and corrupt.
He's a race traitor.
The thinking in the black community, well, it's not been very good, has it? I mean, like, how has it benefited the black community to think in the way that the Democrats think in the black community? Like, sorry, crime out of control, single fatherless households out of control, violence in gangs out of control, all of the rest of it. Why would you want to think like that? I'm not surprised that Elder's like, look, this is wrong. She says, like a lot of black people, though, I've learned that it's often just best to ignore people like Elder. Why don't you try listening? Like, he's not wrong on the things that he's saying, and maybe your lives would get better. As my dad used to say, skin folk, but not necessarily kin folk.
But with, because he's got the same skin, he's skin folk.
But he's not on our team because he's a Republican.
Okay.
Republicans being the party that ended slavery and segregation. Not on their team. Really makes you think, doesn't it?
What a sick phrase, though.
Yes, it's gross. It's gross. I will never describe the French as skin folk. but with polls showing that nearly half of likely voters supporting recalling Newsom and the elder is the lead to replace him, ignoring the self-proclaimed sage from South Central is no longer a viable strategy, particularly for black people. Melina Abdullah, the co-founder of Black Lives Matter Los Angeles, says he is a danger, a clear and present danger.
To who?
Black Lives Matter. I'm loving this. I'm actually loving it. Come on, Larry. It's not just that Elder would be a Trump fanboy Republican trying to run a state dominated by Democrats, although he has zero experience in elected office and clearly doesn't have the temperament for governance. It's that, perhaps out of spite or perhaps out of an insatiable need for attention. Childish name-calling. Elder opposes every single public policy idea that's supported by black people to help black people. So he's opposed to Black Lives Matter. He's a Republican. He is a conservative. He does not think that progressive Democrat policies work for the black community. And judging by the state of the black community in America, how is he wrong?
Also, you notice how they say it's capital black people mm-hmm. to help black people. And again, capital. Mm-hmm. It's got nothing to do with skin tone. It's got to do with the type of
ideology.
Black you are.
Yeah, it's absolutely ideology. And the hilarious thing about this is that they're not accusing him of corruption. Weird. They're not saying that he's going to be stealing money or something. Really interesting. But this has been true for decades, and it's particularly problematic given the racial reckoning following the murder of George Floyd. We have been seeing a series of real uncomfortable discussions about systemic racism in institutions across this state, says State Senator Sidney Kamalga, about how to really peel back layers of ignorance and ineptitude so that we can deal with them in very real ways. And Larry Elder is someone who just fundamentally doesn't believe that systemic racism exists, and you can see why they hate him. Because he's going to be like, bull. He's going to be like, bull, this is a cope. You're making up excuses. Get to work, you know. Get back into school. Get married. Stop being a bunch of leeches. You know what he's going to be like. And it's like, yes, yes, I'm absolutely living for this, right?
I hated Jesus because he told the truth.
Exactly, exactly. Why are you booing me? I'm right, you know. That's what Larry Elder's policy position is going to be. And so I just love all of this, right? Elder scoffs at the many efforts to reform the criminal justice system and root out systemic racial bias in policing by requiring more transparency and accountability from officers. That's not what they're doing. Instead, he keeps trotting out statistics that purport to show how black people are particularly prone to murdering one another. Purport to show that. FBI crime statistics. Purport.
Murder statistics, specifically, I imagine.
Exactly, yes. As if he's made them up. Elder mocks critical race theory, though I'm not sure he understands what it actually is. Why would he need to? It's just racism repackaged, which is why it's being promoted by the Democrats. If elected, the task force studying reparations for black Californians would be toast. Based. Like, this is a great advert for Larry Elder. Like, right, so he's going to get rid of critical race theory, he's going to abolish this witch hunt for systemic racism, and he's going to abolish the ideas of reparations. Okay, keep going. Keep going. What's wrong here? Right? And then there are Elder's views on masks and vaccines for COVID-19. He said he'll repeal the mask mandates and vaccine mandates before I have my first cup of coffee, and I don't drink coffee. I believe that many policies have been implemented by the left, often with the best intentions, that have had a disproportionately negative effect on black America. And some black people do agree with him. We aren't a monolith, so it's true. He does have fans who are black and who are likely to vote for him. Yeah, and if that attitude and mindset starts creeping across the rest of the black community, then it's curtains for the Democrats, isn't it?
The individualist mindset.
Yes, the mindset of personal responsibility. But it's also true that black people, particularly black Angelinos, which is black people in Los Angeles, overwhelmingly vote Democrat. That's the foundation of a new campaign launched by local, state, and federal black elected officials, blah, blah, to increase their turnout. Indeed, his candidacy feels personal, like an insult to blackness. Love it. Define blackness. Just define blackness. See, one of the things that the critical race theorists do is never define blackness. They leave it as this is where we want to be, but it's kind of amorphous, undefined void. That everything else around it is white supremacy and that has to go, and whatever's left, that's blackness. But, Naji Ali, a longtime South LA activist, says he would be a disaster for the capital B black community, as in the race grifters in Black Lives Matter. He would be a disaster for them. We would suffer greatly. He is the black Trump, and I'm speaking as his friend, although she acknowledges that her friendship with him is strained. There we go. Larry Elder, the black Trump. Couldn't ask for a stronger endorsement from Black Lives Matter. She says, anytime you put a black face on white supremacy, which is what Larry Elder is, there are people who utilize that as an opportunity to deny white supremacy. They'll say, how could this be white supremacy? This is a black man. Everything that he's pushing, everything he stands for, is advancing white supremacy. Don't agree.
Again, just the level of absurd thinking, redefinitions of the term white supremacy.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember the black leader of Rhodesia, or the black leader of apartheid South Africa?
No, weirdly, I don't.
Or the black leader of, I don't know, the United States under the Confederation?
No, don't remember any of that. Because they were actual white supremacies, because they weren't actually talking about values, ideology, or personal behavior. What they were talking about is actual race.
It was black. So I half expect BLM to come out and just say it.
Well, they're practically there, actually. Black people know better than anyone how dangerous Elder is. He's the OG troll that no one was supposed to feed, but here we are. Love it. This is speaking my language. Now I'm Larry Elder for life at this point after reading this article. Well done, right? Shame I don't live in California now. As one of them said, I'm not interested in going back to Jim Crow because I want to have a black person as a governor. As in, they think that Larry Elder is going to bring back Jim Crow. Just come on. Come on. He's obviously promoting a conservative view of, well, maybe we should have some personal responsibility. Maybe black people should take responsibility for the fact that their intra-racial murder rate is higher than anything ever.
But also, if you want Jim Crow, you vote critical race theory.
Yes, you do.
I mean, as has been happening across schools in the United States.
Yes. I mean, Larry Elder would doubtless be an integrationist if that were the conversation you're going to have with him. Should black and white people be segregated, Mr. Elder? He'd probably be like, no.
You could rephrase that. I'm not interested in going back to Jim Crow because I want a black person as governor. No, I'm interested in going back to Jim Crow because critical race theory.
Well, yeah, that's exactly right. But the people who are opposing Larry Elder, if we can get to the next one, as you can see, the very same author of that article also lamented the death of Fidel Castro.
As a charismatic icon that ruled Cuba. Charismatic icon.
Well, Justin Trudeau's mother thought so. Mm. Anyway, and of course there have been rumours that the election will be fortified. So this was posted on TikTok, and thankfully libs of TikTok found it. Apparently alleged to find two women in California opening a mailbox and stealing a stack of recall ballots for the election. Can't confirm or deny, but I imagine there are going to be lots of mail-in voting. That's all I'm going to say. But the voting starts today, as Larry has posted. Okay, the next one, voting starts today, so if you live in California, of course, vote yes, and then vote Larry Elder, because it's driving the left mental, and so that clearly is why he is going to be the primary candidate that we're supporting, or I'm supporting personally, because he's just making them howl, and if he makes them howl with such incoherent rage and such a lack of actual argumentation, he must be doing something right.
Also, Larry's just a great guy. Did you see the clip with him and Dave Rubin when he had him on?
I haven't seen that one.
Actually. Oh, you haven't? Ah, it's like one of the early, very early interviews Dave did. And one of the great things is Dave is still in the mindset of, yeah, systemic racism. Yeah. Yeah, I'm probably right about some things.
Half left, half right.
Yeah. And Larry Elder is just like, come on, name him. Go on, name the systemic racism. He's like, well, I don't know. And he gets to the point where he's like, well, I think maybe the cops treat black people differently. He's like, name who? Name the cases. And he starts listing, you know, what is it, the BLM martyrs.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's just like, nope, nonsense, and goes through them one by one. And you can see Dave being like, oh, crud. I've been believing nonsense. So, anyway.
I hope he wins.
Yeah. It's gone to Donald Trump doing nothing wrong. So the FBI have said that Donald Trump did do nothing. Literally, he did nothing wrong. And we have this from Reuters to go through first. So David posting here, after Reuters shamelessly biased reporting on January 6th.
All I can see is the crying face meme. Just yeah. As they're Reuters typing this up, just like Donald Trump did nothing wrong,
because,
crying.
Because Reuters previously, as noted in this article, had written, Trump summoned supporters to, quote, wild protest and told them to fight. No, he didn't.
He did the exact opposite of that multiple times, you absolute liars.
Yeah. Peacefully and patriotically make your voices heard. Now that was a call to violence. Really, was it?
And then, after they went into the Capitol, he said, it's time to go home.
Hmm. If we go to the next one, we just have the article that's still up. They haven't edited it at all. Still there. Just completely fake news. I mean, just actually not true. And if we go to the next one, of course, this is what happened with the impeachment. As you can see, Vox whining here, that one winner out of the impeachment was Trump.
Most vindicated president ever.
Yeah. And if we go to the next one, we can see as to why it failed. Because you end up with nonsense like this. So this is a clip from PBS. If you scroll down to the title here, just, I find this amazing. Watch. Trump using the word peacefully, not a defense for other incendiary speech, Democrats argue.
Well, I can see why they failed on this.
Yeah, this is why they lost. Because Donald Trump said peacefully. He did not say, you know, go and storm it, lads.
No.
Yahoo. You know, us and the country boys here.
Yeah.
Like, that's not what happened.
The Taliban weren't being like, we followed the example of Donald Trump, you know?
Peacefully and patriotically made our voices heard. Anyway, so let's go to the article for the FBI saying that there's no evidence Donald Trump did nothing. So the Reuters having to write this again and probably through gritted teeth, as you mentioned. Exclusive
just
FBI
crying, just the crying emoji.
FBI finds scant evidence U.S. Capitol attack was coordinated. Now, on January 6th, the U.S. Capitol, as a result of the organized... Sorry, got to reread that. I'm getting the title and the first paragraph messed up there. The FBI has found scant evidence that the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol was the result of the organized plot to overturn the presidential election result, according to four current and former law enforcement officials. Though federal officials have arrested more than 570 alleged participants, the FBI at this point believes the violence was not centrally coordinated by far-right groups or prominent supporters of then-President Donald Trump. According to these sources, who have been either directly involved or in brief regularly, or have been briefed regularly on the wide-ranging investigations. 90 to 95% of these are one-off cases, said a former senior law enforcement official with knowledge of the investigation. So nothing. Literally, just as the footage would show for anyone who watched it, a bunch of randos were like, hey, what if we just walk in? And then they did.
Well, the police opened the door.
Mm. I mean, they just like wrestled with a bit, and the police were like, we're just giving up, and then everyone just walked in.
Because... Little old deers walked in.
Mm. So the next quote, then you have 5%, maybe, of these, again, maybe, of these militia groups that were more closely organized, but there was no grand scheme with Roger Stone and Alex Jones and all these people to storm the Capitol and take hostages.
Well, I mean, I mean, Alex Jones said don't do it.
Maybe? What do you mean maybe? Like, there was no plan from Alex Jones and Roger Stone to get a bunch of militiamen, storm the Capitol and take Nancy Pelosi hostage in exchange for Trump becoming president? Like, yeah, of course there was no plan like that.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not too surprised. I'm wondering why you thought there was.
I don't know what level of absurdity you have to be on where you're the FBI investigating this, being like, but I've seen the stream. Like, nothing happened like that.
I mean, I don't know what Roger Stone was doing that day, but Alex Jones was telling people not to go in. Donald Trump was telling people to be peaceful, and then when they went in, he told them to leave. So I just don't understand how they could come to the conclusion that maybe we should be looking into an organized plot to overthrow the government.
Yeah, I mean, we're looking at some real, like, next-level Blue Anon stuff.
Yeah.
You know what the Trumpsters were up to? Yeah, Donald Trump, he organized a plot to take hostages with Alex Jones so that they could exchange them for the president's position.
Where is she?
Anyway.
Oh, so I thought I was going to be raped.
They continue to write in here, Stone, a veteran Republican operative and self-described dirty trickster. That's fair reporting, isn't it? And Jones, founder of a conspiracy
driven
radio show.
To be fair, he might
well
describe himself that way.
Yeah, but it's one of those things where he's like, he's probably making a joke. And then,
well, I mean, Dominic Cummings might describe himself the same way. It's that kind of, you know, long-term political operatives. They know they've got a kind of gross job. Yeah. Peter Mandelson style.
But also they describe Jones as a founder of a conspiracy-driven radio show and webcast, and are both allies of Trump and have been involved in pro-Trump events in Washington on January 5th, the day before the riot.
Yeah, so nothing wrong with that.
That's completely lawful activity.
Yeah.
I don't know what you're alleging. So FBI investigators did not find that cells of protesters... including followers of the far-right Oath Keepers and Proud Boy groups, had aimed to break into the Capitol, but they found no evidence that the groups had any serious plans about what they would do once they made it inside.
Hence the reason they were walking around with like the lectern and picking up Nancy Pelosi's phone going, Nancy, get down here, and stuff like this. Like, they, you know, they obviously had no idea what they were doing. They obviously had no plans to actually be in there.
I just love that, though, the FBI writing, we found no evidence that the groups had any serious plans about what to do. Yeah. It's evident they had no ideas to what they were doing. I mean, again, like anyone watching the streams, anyone looking at the pictures would be able to figure this out. But
Internet idiots got inside and didn't know what to do with themselves.
Took the FBI until August, and Reuters also until August, until they decided to just listen to Donald Trump.
Amazing.
Yeah. So I thought I'd tie this in with a situation that's going on with DeSantis, which is amazing.
Yep.
And so this starts off with the AP. Again, these are two, you know, AP and Reuters being two sources that are generally not hyper-partisan.
No, and considered to be the most sort of credible neutral sources.
Yeah. So Reuters are screwing themselves over there, becoming partisans for attacking Trump on the basis of nada.
Yeah.
And then you have AP here, who decided to go after DeSantis on the basis of...
Florida man bad.
Yeah, so they decided to go with Florida man bad. DeSantis, top donor invests in COVID drug, governor promotes.
Well, that makes sense. Why wouldn't you?
But also, this is an allegation of corruption, surely, that, you know, DeSantis is presumably in contact with whoever runs this place, and he's the only one promoting it, and therefore this is a dirty scheme to make money.
But the left are the ones promoting everything.
Yeah, Joe Biden himself also promoted the same drug.
Yeah.
So the idea that this is DeSantis...
Like, this is looking at your political opposition going, right, they're not going to stop talking about COVID forever, and they're going to be, like, buying the president of the United States, who's a Democrat, is going to be buying tons and tons and tons of this drug. Why wouldn't I invest in that?
It's like, you know, guys who don't...
I know that's going to make money.
...have brought shares in Pfizer, don't you know?
Oh, God, no, not shares in Pfizer.
Why wouldn't they? Yeah, anyway, so he says in here that...
I should have bought shares in bloody Pfizer, God damn it.
Yeah, it's too late now, probably. But anyway, the funny thing is it's not even a major investment for the donors. The donor is some corporation called Citadel, and it's some small investment for them. They're not even one of the major donators, investors into this drug. Mm. But also, they give most of their donations to Democrats. They just gave one off to DeSantis. Because corporation.
How dare you?
But this is how tenuous the link is. So this is the initial article that caused the S-storm that we're going to go through next.
Yeah.
Because Ron DeSantis' press secretary responded to this because she was peed off that they had just openly tried to smear them.
Yeah.
So she says in this update, the journalist spreading misinformation is changing the story, but not the headline. He says his boss's boss insisted the anti-DeSantis innuendo stays in the headline.
Oh.
He flat out refused to give me the name of the decision maker in a news organization. No accountability. And Christina there being correct. That's weird and disgusting. Like, you've got this very tenuous news story.
Mm-hmm.
News story. It's not even news. It's just like they made one investment.
Yeah.
The tenuous link to DeSantis is ridiculous. And it's an obvious smear. And then she's confirming here that, yes, it is an obvious smear because they're insistent on the headline. Why?
Because it makes reality? Him look bad. That's what they're trying to do.
Yeah. So if we go to the next one here, she continues. She got really peed off by this, and probably rightfully. She tags him and says, hey, the guy who made the article. Sad to see this cheap political innuendo from the AP. Should be DeSantis and Biden agree monoclonals save lives. Yeah, because Joe Biden had also endorsed this drug. You knew this isn't a story. You knew that you can't defend it. And you said your boss's boss wouldn't change the headline. And you refused to tell me his name.
Good. Really makes me think.
Good point. So if we go to the next one here, we have Ron asking her who's his boss's boss. And she says, pretty sure it's some guy, although the author of the article refused to tell me that. Ravi, why don't you force your journalist to politicize life-saving COVID treatment? Farringdon knows that this story is nonsense, yet he, you and Ian are feeding the blue anon conspiracy fodder anyway. Shameful. Mm-hmm. I like the way she's tweeting as well. Anyway, so their response to this was, please no bully, we are just poor little journalists who never do nothing. Please no bully us. We're being bullied by this press secretary who's saying that you're a liar.
Oh, did your lies come back to beat you?
Yeah, so they wrote this letter to DeSantis being like, your press secretary is bullying us. So they write in here, using her Twitter account, Christina Pushaw threatened a journalist, retweeted other threats against that journalist, and issued a call to action against the Associated Press. Because she had said drag them. As in, like, drag them through the mud.
Then every leftist on Twitter has to be banned now, because that's all a call to action, is it not?
I know, but I just love the idea that it's like, she's bullying us. She's making threats against us. What's she doing? She's saying you were a liar.
Why? Because we lied. Maybe you should stop lying.
Maybe you deserve it.
Yeah.
No, put the phone down. But DeSantis made a response there, so I thought it was good, worth mentioning. So this is amazing. So the if we go to the next one, the intro here from DeSantis is, I assumed your letter was to notify me that you were issuing a retraction of the partisan smear piece you published last week. Instead... you have the temerity to complain about the deserved blowback that you and your botched and discredited attempt to concoct a political narrative has received. Just go to hell.
Love it. Love it.
Go
love
to
it.
Hell. I don't care if you're getting bullied. Bully you more.
No mercy.
Journos deserve no quarter. So he ends up ending this as well, which is great. He says, you succeeded in publishing a misleading clickbait headline about one of your political opponents, but at the expense of deterring individuals infected with COVID from seeking life-saving treatment, which will cost lives. Was it worth it? Signed, Ron DeSantis.
I assume their response was, of course it was worth it. Why would you even ask that question?
We're only here for just pure power.
Yes.
So the I don't think they've made a response as far as I'm aware, but I did love that his press secretary just took that quote at the end and just has now pinned that. Just been like, yeah, that's amazing. Our response. Journalists, yeah. Get bullied.
Yeah.
F around, find out.
Just repackage all their own rhetoric against them. That's all this one has.
There has been one response from a journo, though, mm-hmm. who was like, well, this is definitely bullying now. So we get to the next one. You can see this guy. This is the very definition of bullying. Because she had just pinned the response.
Oh, they pinned the response to their Twitter feed, and that's bullying, is it?
You're bullying us.
Oh my God, you're so weak.
Here's Ron DeSantis taunting, was it worth it, a reporter and his employer.
You're getting people killed.
This is the very definition of
bullying. You're getting people killed.
Yeah, but also being bullied. So please not bully. But one of the best things out of this is that his press secretary also decided to put up a meme in her office. And this is great. So you can see. Another news, I have a new decoration for my office. For people listening, it's an image of reporters before and reporters now. And reporters before, I'll investigate this story and bring the facts, even if it costs my life. Reporters now, please stop the mean words, Ron DeSantis. This smear was just a joke.
Yeah, you get it? What you deserve.
Anyway, good news. Ron DeSantis doing the Lord's work by bullying dishonest journos and also Donald Trump.
Did nothing wrong.
Let's go to the video comments.
Hey, Callum, please don't take offense. I'm just in it for the meme. And you're absolutely right. Ask a girl out, because while they can smell desperation, they are also really attracted to confidence. On a more serious note, Carl, you've spoken somewhat at length about how to talk to your sons or daughters who are kind of being indoctrinated into wokeism and leftist ideology. But what do you do if it's a parent? What would you suggest then? Thanks.
Well, I mean, it depends what they're saying, obviously, because you know, whatever the particular like angle of concern is, they might be like, oh, gay people this or black people that, who knows what it is. But again, like, I would suggest with any critique of wokeism, you travel outside of the frame of wokeism. So if they're talking about black people, don't talk about black people, but talk about personal behavior and personal responsibility, things like this. So get outside of the framing of race or gender and try and speak within a sort of more human-like, sort of more, I guess you could describe it as sort of like a personal or local framing. But again, I'd need specifics to be able to give advice on particular topics. Mm. So.
Oh, that's pretty horrible to hear. I mean, I haven't had this happen yet where I've seen like close friends of mine become wokeist. So
yeah,
whenever I hear about it, it's
just avoid their framing. If you're within their framing, then you're going to lose the argument. Mm. So
it's good. I wanted to put in some clarification on Crenshaw's comments about Afghanistan. We had a troop drawdown, a few thousand in country, enough to maintain minimal intelligence presence. Crenshaw's issue is the manner in which we pulled everyone out. And I think we can all agree that that was an absolute disaster. Maintaining a basic security presence there with partner forces in Afghanistan, one, maybe two outposts, wouldn't have been a big ask. And it happens all the time. You just don't know about it.
Okay. Yeah. That does give more credence to his argument. I don't know if you remember Crenshaw's.
No, what did he say?
So he was saying it was disgusting that we were pulling out. If he's criticizing the way, I can find credence with that. I thought he was addressing, as some conservatives in the UK and then many in the parliament had made, which is that we should just stay for another 10 years and then everything would be solved. And there's some weird arguments around this as well. Like some people have been saying that, for example, there's less troops in South Korea, therefore it doesn't cost much in men and military. And I get that argument, but at the same time, it's like, yeah, but there's no war in South Korea.
Like South Korea is in Afghanistan.
Yeah, well, there's no actual war going on. Like, de facto, it's done. It's just to keep the North Koreans at bay, cost nothing.
But the point is, they don't have, like, the South Korean Taliban hiding out in the hills, ready to come down at any moment.
Yeah, and also the idea that in 18 months, no American servicemen have died. Well, it's August, so minus 8 months. Hmm. So you get back January, minus 10 more months, you get back to February 2020. What happened in February 2020 that's so important that the Taliban stopped killing Americans? That was the start of the Doha talks. That was when Trump called up Taliban and said, mm-hmm. let's make a peace deal. And then all of a sudden they weren't killing any more Americans. Well, of course they weren't. They're in the middle of a peace negotiation.
When did he drop the Moab on them?
I can't remember off the top of my head.
But that must have been about that sort of time, right?
Yeah, because I remember he gave in his speech in Alabama as well. He said they reneged on a couple of things, so then we taught them a lesson. I guess the Moab...
Yeah, that must have been the lesson, yeah.
Taught them the lesson. So I just find it strange, this argument that... we should stay forever. I've seen it from Americans and Brits. I didn't know Crenshaw had more context to that.
So if Crenshaw's like, well, look, essentially pull the troops out last, you know, take the equipment, take the civilians, take, you know, like our people, and then, you know, you leave small strategic areas that are heavily fortified, so the Taliban can't do a lot about them. That would have been a safe withdrawal, and the Taliban wouldn't have done anything either, even though they would have seen, oh, the Americans are leaving, they're not going to be like, right, we're going to jump in on it, because they would have known that there would have been thousands of American troops that would just gun them down.
Well, this is the criticism from Trump.
Well, yeah,
get
absolutely.
The civilians out,
absolutely.
Get the military out, bomb the bases, and then...
I mean, it's literally a criticism like a child could level, because it's just so blindingly obvious. But anyway...
Even more blindingly obvious is just it's mostly Joe Biden's fault because you're meant to be out in May and you pushed it back for what reason?
Yeah.
He still hasn't said.
No.
But that's the amazing thing. I still haven't got a reason for why he pushed it back to September.
But why was this sudden panic withdrawal? I mean, no wonder the Afghan president just fled. I would have fled. You know, like, bloody hell. Well, actually, I would have tried to rally the troops, but it wouldn't have worked well, I imagine.
Well, you probably have more support for fighting off the Taliban in England than you would from Afghani people.
Probably.
Let's go to the next one.
So I went and listened to Lord Miles' entire hour and a half long live stream. For those who don't have an hour and a half to watch it, let me give you some of the highlights of things he said during that hour and a half long video. First thing, he says he's only 1/8 French, and that's why he didn't surrender, because he's only 1/8. At one point, a man approached him with a knife and said, "We don't like filthy foreigners here," and he just replied with, "Based." Someone asked Miles, "Are you racist?" And he says, "No, I'm not into racing. I don't watch Formula One."
Truly a child of 4chan.
I know, like, this is the reason it's so hard to hate, because he's so clearly just there for fun, and you can't dislike a person who's just wanting to have fun.
Imagine what the Taliban were like. We don't like foreigners. Good.
I mean, to be fair, like, if you I don't know who to give as a British example, but if you ran into some British radical who was like, "Yeah, foreigners out," and then the foreigner was just like, "Yeah, fist bump." It reminds me of, wasn't that the Muslim guy who joined the EDL?
Yes.
That was just like, yeah, well, you know, Islamism is bad.
Yeah, got to fight for your country, haven't you? It's like, well, good point. Right. Can't argue with that.
Based.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Let's go to the next one.
Afternoon from Ontario. First of all, James Hoffman, you're cool in my book. But on the point of a lack of based individuals in Canada, I think it comes down to two things. First of all, the virtue of Canadian politeness. Growing up, I was taught that religion and politics were something that you do not discuss in polite company. Secondly, it's just too pleasant in Canada. Petty problems make petty people.
Yeah, it's probably a good point.
Doesn't Canada have a problem with bears roaming the streets, though? Dev keeps telling me about how, like, occasionally you just find bears in the cities.
Probably not bad. Shoot.
Well, bloody great bear. I don't want to go near it.
No. But I think your point, I mean, you mentioned before, you know when you meet a really rich, spoiled kid and you want to hit him?
Yeah.
And it's not because you want to physically injure them or take their money or something. It's because they haven't suffered in life.
Oh, they deserve it, yeah.
They want, you know, they need some suffering to become a full person. And we probably do have a bit of that in the West. You could describe it as society.
Oh, yeah.
Petty people, petty problems. Let's go to the next one.
Hey, Lotus Eaters. Tony D and Little Joan here with a story of Captain Kidd in the New Jersey Pine Barrens. It's something that's been talked about for years in publications, including Weird New Jersey. If you could find the 300-year-old landmarks, you might find the treasure. Legend has it that one of Kidd's crew came back, found the money, but then his house burned down and his treasure is gone. Another one is that Kidd beheaded one of his own men so the ghost would guard the treasure.
Ooh, that's a great story.
It is actually pretty spooky. Also, I like to see Joan again. Like dogs. I mean, every time I'm just going to keep mentioning the dog, because every time I just look at the dog. It's cute. Let's go to the next one.
You see, this right here is why women belong in the kitchen. Women actually thought, you know what, I'm going to go fight this a god. Battle. That's not a woman's job. That's a man's job right there. You what? See, this Has is why protected. Record of Ragnarok is based. Look at this list. I don't see one female name on the Champions of Heaven or Earth, because fighting a god is a man's job. Get back in the kitchen, women.
Oh my god, so we've got mythical misogyny now.
I think that's a post from the Reddit witches who were putting hexes on the Taliban.
Yes.
To try and fight them.
Yes. Well, I saw another one today. Apparently, one witch was waking up with migraines after trying to hex the Taliban, and she was like, "Do the Taliban have their own witches?" I'm like, "I don't think they do."
You know. No, they have the wrath of Allah.
Yeah, exactly. They just have, you know, absolute faith in Allah. Yeah, exactly.
Let's go to the next one.
There's this somewhat scary thought I had over last week. It might have been better to just declare war on Afghanistan as a country instead of vaguer concepts like the Taliban or just terror in general. Would have given us clearer victory conditions and clearer rules of engagement. couldn't have been worse than what we did in reality.
I think that the problem is that we'd already conquered Afghanistan. So the country was controlled by the West, and the Taliban weren't just a vague concept. They're actually a rogue terrorist group hiding off in the hills somewhere that we couldn't catch.
Country boys.
Yes.
Dukes of Hazzard. It's a valid criticism of Bush, though. The vague rhetoric.
Oh, the war on terror. Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, nonsense. Notice how any time you declare war on an abstract concept, you seem to get more of it. It's really weird, isn't it?
Yeah. You know? It's like, we mentioned this before, but when David Cameron turned around and said, right, poverty, it's illegal now. Oh, thank God. Thank God someone finally did it. Poverty's been going around doing so much damage.
Thank
now
God we've
gone.
Finally got a communist in office.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's go to the next one.
You may not like it, but this is what peak life for the ordinary man looks like.
Memes aside, I'm thankful for everything that God has given me, but I do have several very important self-improvement projects I'm still working on.
Yeah,
I do have an S-tier waifu, but I do not have grandchildren, which is the correct win condition of a man.
Ah.
I also am not my own boss, which is the 100% completionist condition of a man. And last, Tulsa, Oklahoma is a bit outside commuting distance to Swindon, so I cannot help with the Lotus Eaters, which is the Chad God condition of a man. So what are you guys working on next?
I'm looking up that hat.
Yeah, I just like the hat. I like America. It seems so understated, but there are going to be people who are like, no, I don't like America. America's white supremacy. Blah, 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 blah. I'm currently working on a video analysis of They Live. What are you working on?
Looking up this hat right now.
Yeah, important stuff.
That's exciting my life gets right now. But,
yes. I agree. I think grandchildren could be considered the measure of man. Oh, yeah, of course.
I suppose we're looking on the live event.
Yeah, we haven't been shilling the live event. Can you get the live event up, John, so people can see the live event? So got to do a bit of shilling of this. So basically, on the 24th and 25th of September, so next month, in London, myself, Callum, Dankula, and mystery guests, should we put it? We'll be doing a live event. You can go to lotusseas.com and grab some tickets for that. I don't know how well sold it is at the moment, but we will be there. It will be a very fun evening, a pair of evenings of us just talking about stuff, taking questions from you guys in the audience and having a laugh. So come on down and we will have a merry time together until we're shut down by the state.
Until we're drunk in the pub afterwards.
All that. Yeah.
Usually what we do.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, let's go to the next one.
There is a saying, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. Is doing good for good reasons better, equal, or worse than doing good for bad reasons? For example, donating to build wells in Africa. Does it matter if it's a virtue signal or not? I'm asking about motivations, not intent. For example, the different degrees of murder in English common law, premeditation versus spur of the moment, or manslaughter. Another wrinkle is, how do you know your motivations are good? What if you're deluding yourself?
Well, you can't really answer that one. If you're deluding yourself, then are you sure you're going to know it until someone opens your eyes to it? But of course, good things done for good motivations are much better than good things done for bad motivations, because I do think that intent matters. I mean, the law does seem to think that intent matters, but I think that morality requires that we consider intention to matter as well. What?
Of course the law cares about intent.
Yeah, but the law might be wrong.
Yeah, but it's right in the case of manslaughter versus murder, for example.
Well, I agree.
Sure.
But that's a moral assumption that you've made that underlies it. But I think that moral assumption is correct. I think even if you had like someone who was intending to be malevolent to all of the people around him but was incompetent and so messed up his malevolence and ended up helping everyone around him, you wouldn't call that a good person, you know.
I'm trying to think of a good example.
Yeah, exactly. You just call them incompetent.
Yeah.
But they're still a bad person who's just terrible at being bad. Sort of Megamind style or something like that. So
I should mention one of the things I'm working on, which is whilst you were talking to Helen, I've written the skeleton for the New Vegas book club. I don't know if when I'm going to finish
it. Book club?
That. Book club? I don't know. New Vegas.
Premium podcast.
Politics of New Vegas.
Yes.
So who's the good guys, who's the bad guys?
You can do a scripted video for that.
Maybe. It depends.
I think you should, because you can do lots of the editing and stuff like that. Yeah, I'll work with you on it.
But the funny thing is I found out there's an ending to New Vegas that like very few people know about, and I'm not going to spoil it.
Don't spoil it.
If you played Sierra Madre, some people will know. So I'll just leave it there.
People need to understand who the Taliban actually are. They're country boys.
Thank God I'm a country boy. Fine harem and got me old fiddles. Sun comes up and kicks on griddles. Life ain't nothing but a funny, funny riddle. Thank God I'm a country boy.
Here they come. Come into my parlor, said the spider to the bee.
Sheriff, I think that's supposed to be a fly.
Oh, I love it so much. Allahu Akbar.
Yeah. I don't know if there are any other Islamist chants that would work better with what is it, the rebel yell?
I don't know. Not up on my Islamist chants.
Oh, it's a southern chant.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Anyway, let's go to the next one.
I wanted to share with you a human story from the COVID lockdowns in Australia. A friend of a friend, an elderly couple, have spent 20 or so years building their perfect, beautiful house down on the coast and now have to sell it. The reason being, they are required to care for one of their relatives who lives on the other side of town, which is outside of the 5-kilometer travel limit. So they have no choice but either to break the law or sell their house and move to some crappy flat.
Yeah.
Gotta love it.
Helen mentioned when she said the laws are literally impossible to comply with.
Mm.
And in Westminster, they took that back and then rewrote them. Mm-hmm. Whereas in Oz, they're just keeping them where you can't apply with them. So
prison colony.
Yeah.
Was that the last one or is there another one?
I think there's one more.
Something I feel is hindering discussions is forgetting that Newspeak is constantly being revised. I feel this is something that the Lotus Eaters are missing sometimes, such as when Carl and Callum each think that herd immunity meant something different, or when discussing whether transgenderism believes that one can change sex or not. The Newspeak definition of herd immunity depends on if you're speaking pre-COVID, after COVID is politicized, or after you get caught and have to walk things back a bit. Today, transgenderism dictates that you can change both sex and gender. It didn't start out this way, but this was always the goal.
Good point. Very good point.
Hmm. Although I don't think we actually disagreed. I hadn't fleshed out.
No. He is right. We should take into account that this is a part of the party's methodology.
Yeah, like, that's absolutely true.
Yeah. And good point. Well delivered.
Good morning from Ontario. Today I would like to share this clip.
We must celebrate our history. We must celebrate who we are. And I'm proud Canadian like you. And, you know, we build this country together and we want this country to be like that in 25 years. We love this country. And it's not because I want to have a discussion about immigration that I'm radical.
Your role on this stage tonight seems to be to say publicly what Mr. Scheer thinks privately.
No. Only 6% of 6% of Canadians wants more immigration. Only 6%. So when you don't want to have a debate about that, you're not in line with the population.
What was that?
Maxime Bernier completely BTFOing Trudeau.
But he said that Trudeau also loved this country and wanted to be... Why are you giving him that?
Because the Conservatives are too generous to the left.
Yeah, I didn't like that phrasing at all where he was like, you know, you're also a patriot who loves this country. But he's good to bring up the immigration stuff.
Yeah, he's absolutely right. But yeah, he's too generous to Trudeau, who's obviously willfully trying to destroy Canada.
Yeah.
Good afternoon, guys. Yes, I still am receiving extremely weird, racialized emails from my job. Now we have some type of weird BIPOC thing that they're starting. Everyone in it has their pronouns inside the email. This also comes with a Zoom meeting about this weird racial thing. Now, should I give you guys the Zoom link when they do it? Or should I record the entire thing and have you guys dissect it on a podcast? Let me know.
I'd say recording it and sending us the link to the recording so we can dissect it would be very nice, actually.
Probably prod them a bit as well. See what
You know, like feel free to ask questions, but try and be discreet and subtle about it. But yeah, definitely sending us the recording would be excellent.
I do love the idea of tweeting it out. So you know the guy who is popping into Zoom calls all throughout the pandemic?
Oh,
you don't know the YouTuber? I can't remember his name off the top of my head. He would like join and he'd just have like his stomach out and just like talking an African accent for no reason. I'm an exchange student. Just derail every Zoom call. I would like to do that, but probably better if we dissect it.
Yeah.
So in addition to firing either a piece of photo ID or two other suitable forms of identification, in order to vote in a Canadian election, we also only ever use paper ballots, which are marked by hand and then counted by hand in the presence of scrutineers, one from each political party. We also only ever mark them with one of these because a photocopier can't replicate pencil.
Good.
Yeah, we do the same. Yeah, meant to use pencil. Yeah.
I mean, if you can't get pottery shards, fine. But, you know, they'll have to do. Mm. Anyway, Azrael says, real Sharia has never been tried, which is unironically the argument the Taliban are making. Generico says, any chance that instead of taking a pack of Sharia enthusiasts from the graveyard of empires, the UK takes people fleeing from actual fascist tyranny on Australia? The starter is a joke, but I'm actually asking now. Sydney is becoming terrifying to live in. Well, I mean, I would support that, but I'm sure that the government wouldn't support that because...
I do love the idea of showing up the Australian government. Be like, yes, we'll take refugees from your country because you're treating them terribly. Yeah. You'd be like,
Omar says, enemy of the people is being nice when describing the media. Everything they do these days seems to be an inversion of reality. Terrorist organizations, a group of benign Islamic scholars, austere Islamic scholars, what you mean, who simultaneously don't represent Islam and will also protect women's rights, despite the murders and rapes. I like the way that if you want to represent Islam, you can't protect women's rights in the way that they formulated it there. They don't represent Islam and they will protect women's rights. That's a great point. Black man who thinks of himself, white supremacy. Unarmed patriots wandering the halls of a public building, terrorists. Clown world. Additional thought, if the media is controlled by the government, does that make the government the enemy of the people? Ooh. Hammurabi says, I was thinking, if Taliban leader swears off bread, we'll have literal keto sharia. Stop making me like that. Yanala says, I like it now that the Taliban have taken over Afghanistan. The last 20 years of hostilities have gone up in a puff of smoke. With the new government they're creating, the media have hope that will look something similar to our Western democracies. They won't. Yes, no, it's ridiculous that we think it'll look anything similar to Western democracy. Alex says, Carl asked what the gay percentage will be in the Taliban government. Carolyn said zero. Actually, given what they do to little boys in Afghanistan, I'd say the percentage will be very high. Ah, but you're not right there, because the Taliban actually banned Bakubazi.
Yeah, death penalty for Bakubazi, for noncing on underage boys under the Taliban. But they nonce underage girls because they're the Taliban.
Sure, so but
they won't be
half
gay,
right?
But yeah,
like you know, I'm pro banning noncing.
They've banned noncing on boys. You just have to get them to agree to ban noncing on girls now.
And then, but half the battle's been won.
Oh boy.
Look, they were pro-noncing on both sides before.
Yeah.
So, you know, can't say
the
that.
The Taliban have already in made... No, yeah, I'm not going to say.
They're not very progressive, though. You can't nonce a little boy. Yeah. Can you even call yourself a leftist? Tom White... not my rules. I'm the one against it.
With attack fearing him out of the left now.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is how the Taliban ended up leaving the left. They banned noncing on little boys. Tom says, you want to know what kind of progress the Taliban did make? The same kind of progress we can observe in the West, really. They learned to virtue signal so well that all the Western NPCs can decode the signal no problem and have nothing more to say about it. All the checksums and hashes fit. That's perfect. That is have you ever done programming?
Some, but
yeah,
not
so you content. But you get the point though, right? The content of the message doesn't really matter. It's the format in which the message is sent is the way, you know, whether the information can be put into the right variables. That's exactly right. That's very good framing. Anon says, when with Taliban using memes, there will be a push in the Western Hemisphere where they'll use it as justification to ban memes and speech against evil right-wing terrorists. Yeah. Robert says, Jordan Peterson put forward the idea of a socially enforced monogamy, and that was haram, but violently enforced chivalry is okay. Clown world. Yes. Right, we're running out of time a bit, so I'm just going to go on to the Black Trump ones. Wait, Arnie was a Republican. How did that happen? Can you get elected then just switch parties? Well, you've got to remember that 20 years ago, the Democrats weren't how they are now. They're actually not that radical. Like the sort of Hillary Clinton, Bill Clinton style Democrats is how the Republicans were against, and so like, and there's polling that shows, you know, how they've split apart. And honestly, I think it's the Democrats becoming communists that has done it.
But surely then Arnie would have had to become a bit more leftist over time.
Oh, he seems to have been. Yeah, but I mean, I suppose if you spend 30 years in California.
Just rots the brain.
Well, undoubtedly. Chet says, Carl, if California didn't store their human feces on the street, where would they store it? In the homes of leftist elite? Don't be preposterous, good sir. Got me. That's a good point. I didn't even think about it. Where are you going to put all that human feces?
There's no other solutions to this problem.
Yeah. Free Will says, another Stepford husband political robot, most likely built and programmed in Silicon Valley. Yeah, exactly. And Kevin says, and this is talking about Gavin Newsom, he looks just like the protagonist of American Psycho. He really did. Can we get a picture of them up next to each other?
The American Psycho versus Gavin Newsom.
Yeah, Christian Bale and American Psycho, and then Gavin Newsom. It's the mannerisms are exactly the same as well. This kind of like, you know, restrained, like, just look at him. Just look at the expression, the kind of contempt for everyone else around them.
Could you type in versus Gavin Newsom? I bet someone's put up side by side. That looks pretty good.
Yeah, I bet they have, actually.
Newsom, yeah.
I think that's it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, look at him.
How is it that first one, just the next one across. But just How is it not? How is it not? And but it was also down to the mannerisms as well. You know, the way he sits there with his, you know, things crossed, ha, 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 ha. You know, like nothing is real. You know, everything is an affectation. You know, you'll have to read some Trump did nothing wrong ones because mine hasn't reloaded.
So Ryan says impeachment is nothing compared to vindication. Donald J. Trump. Who's that quote from?
I don't know, but it's true.
I know there's. Oh, it's from 40K. I can't remember which 40K character.
How is it?
It's someone from Chaos. Anyway. Speaks while mine says DeSantis has got investments in a drug company. Maybe he just likes the stock. That's the funny thing. It wasn't even him. It was some company that had also given money to his campaign, had invested in some drug. And this company majoritively gives it to Democrats, their donations. And also Joe Biden had also endorsed the drug. I mean, this is the level of just like non-story there was.
Yeah.
And they were like, yeah, just run the smear headline. And then contacted and said, your headline is BS. They were like, yeah, we're not changing it. That was our point in the story.
Yeah. So S.H. Silver says, there is a definition of blackness where Larry Elder can be excised from the black community and become a part of whiteness. The culture of the black community has been cultivated into one of victimhood and otherness, and not self-reliance and assimilation. While it was born from the legitimate crimes against them, cutting them off from their original ethnic roots through slavery and prevented from assimilating through many years of discrimination, the race grifters choose to keep the culture up despite all the progress in trying to make black Americans a part of America at large. That is never a truer word spoken. And we're going to be doing some long-form content on the Critical Race Theory book that I have now finished reading, all 500 pages of it. But you are absolutely right about that. And what's interesting is that they are complaining about those things that are created through slavery and saying, well, these things are all bad. But they have to acknowledge that also the black community that they're trying to preserve was created through slavery. And unironically, one of them says that integration is black genocide.
Looking forward to the book club.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be very interesting. Dave says, the LA Times article sounds like it was written by a racial supremacist. It was a black racial supremacist. They all but called Larry a race traitor. And they think of him as a race traitor. Alexander says, using terms like inclusive, BLM, LGBT, etc. reminds me of when the Israelites painted lamb blood above their doors to prevent the firstborns from being killed. The sacrifice of dignity made to protect one's skin and make yourselves pass covenant. They're more like directly like the shibboleths when they were killing, I think it was the Gideonites. Some you know Israelite tribe had a weirdo accent. They couldn't pronounce shibboleth correctly. They pronounced it as sibboleth. And that's how they knew who to kill. I think was it the Gideonites? See if the chat can correct me.
My ancient history.
Well, it's not even ancient history. Obviously, this didn't happen. This was just in the Bible. Well, maybe it happened, actually. But, like, you know, it's just an interesting thing is how we got the word shibboleth as a word that you can use to show and signify that you're part of a group. And someone who doesn't use these is not part of the group. But anyway, Ryan, we did that one. Callum says, I've been bullied in my life and time at school. So when I see these journos getting the same treatment, but less than what I suffered, I say they deserve it.
Literally, all it was the press secretary tweeted and said, you're a liar.
It's not bullying.
If that's bullying, I don't know.
Don't know why we can't call that accountability. Just saying. Hey, Carl, how do you reconcile your advice to simply work on yourself and let women come to you with women's desire to be chaste? I know you put a lot of value on the thick concepts like man and woman for their facilitation of relationships. Isn't the chaste an extension of this? Well, you see, you are failing. So the interesting thing to remember is that I'm not saying don't chase a woman. What I'm saying is, how to describe it? There's a way of sort of putting out hooks, right? And so if you go up to a woman in a bar and say, hi, can I buy you a drink? You're putting out a hook. And if she says yes, she's accepting the hook with one of her own. And then it becomes like a back and forth, and then the sort of relationship begins to develop, right? I realize that you can look skeptical, but I'm telling you this is true.
No, it's just a funny metaphor.
I can't think of a better one off the top of my head. Yeah. And so basically, it's okay to chase a woman who has put the hook out and said, come and chase me. And then, right, okay, yeah, you can chase her, and you know you accept that hook, and then you build the relationship. In that case, it's okay. But the point is, you're not running around putting out your hook for the women. You wait for the women to put their hooks out to you, and then you accept those things. That's how it works.
No, I'm not disagreeing. It's just a funny metaphor.
Don't have a better metaphor.
I don't know why hooks is funny to me. But
anyway, that's how it works. So I will write something on this at some point just to make sure that it's clear. But yeah. Donata says, hey, Carl, will the live event with Dank and the Secret Guest be available online? We'll probably record it and put it up as premium afterwards or something like that. And since you're a premium subscriber, you'll be able to watch it.
Okay.
Brad says, finally, we've got Callum and Carl back on the same show. I hope we can expect this more often. Well, I mean, I was away last week, so
Yeah.
That was the reason. And Helen was visiting yesterday, so that was the reason Callum wasn't on. But we will be hiring more presenters at some point in the future, and we'll have like a rotating thing. But we'll all be doing, you know, regularly on the podcast. It's just that we need time to be able to free ourselves up to do other kinds of content, because obviously the podcast takes a lot of time when it's just two people doing it. So, yeah. Chris says, thank you and many others for providing justification to stand up for my beliefs. When the pandemic started, I just couldn't sit at home and let all the others do the work, so I went and got a grocery store job. After working every week since April, I was informed by my boss that as an unvaccinated associate, I have to wear a mask, so I went home. It definitely isn't a comfortable feeling, but I know that I would rather exercise my ability to make a choice than defer to my company's opinion. They do not control me anymore. Very good. And I'm glad to hear that.
It's very respectable.
Yeah, it's very respectable. I'm glad to hear that we're helping people. Because that's all we've been trying to do. And Speak One's Mind says, just my luck. I go away for a long weekend on a stag do, and I miss out on the juicy news topics. The thought bans, the return of good old boy Trump, and the covering of the Gurkhas. Yeah, that covering of the Gurkhas was good, by the way. It was a very good segment. I enjoyed that.
Not good to Peter.
Peter McIlvenna is good lad anyway. Go subscribe to Hearts of Oak. They're good lads. Thankfully, I managed to catch up this morning. Keep up the great work, and it was nice to see Peter and Helen co-hosting. Yeah, it was wonderful to have them on. They're both great guests.
Yeah, I should also mention, I completely forgot, we should have mentioned at the start, which is the gold tier Zoom call will be on Thursday this month. Not the last Friday, but the last Thursday, because we are going to the Academic Agents Conference to go and film, and you're going to give me a speech.
Yep.
So that's why it's going to be early. So if you're a gold tier member, please do turn up for Thursday, not Friday, 4 p.m.
Yes.
To do the gold tier Zoom call. Before people get confused and then we upset people.
Yes.
Yeah. Other than that, I think we're out of comments on here, so probably time to end the show. Oh, there's one more. Annie says, when are you doing a Northern live event? London is horrible. When we can find venues.
Basically, if you are someone or happen to know someone who has access to a venue that holds, I don't know, between like 100 to 300 people, that will not deplatform us for ideological reasons.
John's
saying 100 is too small, so 300 he thinks minimum.
And also the platform where the venue will not deplatform us because some socialist sent in a message going, don't you know you're platforming fascists?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, sod off.
Yeah, exactly. So
that's the difficulty.
Yeah, basically if you can find a secure venue for us, we're happy to come and do it. And for people overseas, well, our government's still tyrannical. So, no.
Although I did enjoy the Northern tour with UKIP.
Oh, yeah, it was great. Yeah. You know, all of the stuff that we did.
On a Southwest anti-fascist parade.
Yeah, it was wonderful. Anyway. But yes, we will do. And so get in contact with us at contact@lotuseas.com and we will do what we can.
Anyway, and now for something completely different. If you want more from us, go to lotuseas.com, sign up to get the access to the premium content, and also helps keeps the show running. Also, as I mentioned, go gold tier Zoom call Thursday, not Friday, because of conference. Apart from that, we'll see you tomorrow, 1 o'clock. Thank you and goodbye.